Our worship leader for the morning needs no introduction to this congregation, Dr. Hinton Davis, who is Principal Emeritus of Regent's Park College in the University of Oxford in England, visited this campus a very long time ago and spoke in our chapel for the first time when we were meeting chapel in the Wake Forest Baptist Church. He has since that time been on our campus on many occasions and has, to my knowledge, delivered about every set of special lectures we have and preached a sermon on virtually every cultic occasion of the seminary. He is a friend to all of us, a British Baptist preacher of great distinction, my teacher and very good friend, and I present him to you as our worship leader on this day.
Let us rise to worship God. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Our Father, we give thee thanks that we are met together to worship thee in thy house. We thank thee that thou hast made thyself known to us as our Father. And we thank thee that by the grace of our Savior Jesus Christ, thou hast called us into thy great kingdom. Grant unto us now, we pray thee, the ministry of thy Holy Spirit, that we may worthily magnify thy holy name and bring unto thee the glory that is due to thee. And this we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. I must thank Dr. Durham for his very kind introduction. It has been my great privilege to come to your midst for 23 years, but I have to point out that this is the very first time that they have buttressed the floor against me. May I read to you in 8 verses St. Paul's manual for a seminary and for ministerial students. Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age, or of the rulers of this age, who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glorification. That is the purpose of a seminary. None of the rulers of this age understand this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what God has prepared for those who love him, God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. That is the measure of a seminary and the criterion of a ministerial student, that he searches. For what person knows a man's thoughts except the spirit of the man who is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is from God, that we might understand the gifts bestowed on us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, comparing spiritual with spiritual. And that is the methodology of a seminary. The aim, the art, and the articulation. That is Paul's manual of study. Let us pray. Our Father, we gladly and joyfully confess that thou art the Lord, for thou art the Lord our God indeed. We pray now that thou wilt grace this occasion with thy presence and our hearts with the knowledge of thy presence. We pray for thy blessing upon this great seminary in all its witness, its work, and its discipline. Its president, its trustees, its faculties, all its helpers and all its student and ancillary bodies. Prosper its work. Enrich its spirit. And ever widen its horizons. We thank thee for the fellowship of learning, for the discipline of knowledge, for the privileges of study. We thank thee for our own debt, which we seek to repay as we continue and continue and continue with thy word. Hear us then and grant us these prayers for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. The anthem, I think.
Thank you.
St. Paul's manual for a seminary, consisting of 8 verses from the second letter to the Corinthians, the first letter to the Corinthians in the second chapter, deals with the mystery and with the measure and with the methodology of divine study. This morning, for a few moments, I want to concentrate and to illustrate the third of those topics, the method of our study. The phrase is variously translated, but the translation which I am adopting this morning is comparing Scripture with Scripture. This principle of biblical study, rooted in the Old Testament, illustrated by our Lord Jesus Christ, enunciated in this verse by St. Paul, common amongst the early fathers of the church, characteristic of the reformers, featured in John Bunyan's Grace Abounding, not mentioned at all in the Cambridge History of the Bible, and often neglected in our own study of the Scripture. I would like to illustrate this great principle, comparing Scripture with Scripture, an application of the text, comparing spiritual with spiritual, by reference to 2 passages in the Bible. You are all of you familiar with that great list of unities in the 4th chapter of the Epistle to the Ephesians. There is one body. There is one Spirit. There is one hope, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. There is one Lord. There is one faith. There is one baptism. There is one God and Father of us all, who is above all and through all and in us all. This list of 7 items, none of us would want to take any one of those items away. I am puzzled somewhat by the omission of 2 items. Since St. Paul lists in his 7 items one baptism, I do not understand why a reference to one Lord's Supper has been omitted. I have no explanation for that. I am also puzzled by the fact that there is no reference to one ministry. If we are to listen to our friends in the Eastern Orthodox churches and in the Roman Church and in all branches of the Episcopalian Church, in which the ministry is of the very essence of the Christian church, then if that is so, how is it that Paul does not include in this list of 7 items a reference to one ministry? Perhaps it is because The ministry is multiple. But you can see that in all these seven items, the one word is repeated. One body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. The emphasis is on the one, the uniqueness. My friends, does the reference to one bring to your mind any other passage or book in Scripture with which we may compare this list of unities in Paul's fourth chapter to the Ephesians? I am sure your minds are already going to the great confession of faith in the book of Deuteronomy. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Deuteronomy is the book of the ones in the Old Testament. The book of the unities, the book of the solities, the book of the uniquenesses. I consulted Driver's wonderful spiritual commentary on the book of Deuteronomy, and on page 25 of his introduction, there are listed four unities from the book. Now, it's not my list, it's Driver's list. There are four items in Driver's list. One Lord, one Yahweh, one people, as in chapter 7, one sanctuary, one priesthood, plus two other features which we can reasonably add: one confession, the faith, the Shema, and one spiritual circumcision, as mentioned in chapter 10, verse 60. And so we have two lists of unities. The six items in Deuteronomy, and the seven items in St. Paul. And I would like to compare spiritual with spiritual. There are two items in the Deuteronomy list which have no equivalent in St. Paul's list. The priesthood has no ministry equivalent in St. Paul. It has been overtaken by the priesthood of all believers. Driver's third element, one sanctuary, has no equivalent in St. Paul's list. So we are left now in the Deuteronomy list with six items less two, which is four. In the St. Paul's list, there is one item which has no equivalent in the Deuteronomy list: one hope of our calling. So the final analysis gives us four items in the Deuteronomic list and six items in St. Paul's list. Number one in Deuteronomy, one Lord, finds its equivalent in number seven in Paul. One God and Father of all. But look, see what the comparison is teaching you. Deuteronomy thunders and proclaims, "Hear, O Israel, there is one Lord." And Paul proclaims, "There is one God and Father." And Father. See how the comparison of spiritual with spiritual instructs us. That is why Scripture assesses Scripture. That is why Scripture appraises Scripture. That is how Scripture interprets Scripture. That is how Scripture expounds Scripture. Scripture is the arbiter of Scripture. The second item in the Deuteronomic list, one people, is the equivalent of the first item in St. Paul's list. One body. But look at the comparison. One people. A national political concept. One body. A consummate spiritual organic covenantal body. See how the comparison instructs us. The fifth item in the Deuteronomic list would be one confession, the Shema. And that equates with number five in St. Paul's list, one faith. But the command of the Shema has become the compassion and the joy of believing faith. And the last item in the Deuteronomic list, one spiritual conversion, has given way to baptism, the committal, the dedication of the total personality to the one God and the one Lord and the one Spirit. So you see the equivalence in Deuteronomy and in Paul. But in the final analysis, as I said, there are four items in Deuteronomy, two without equivalent in Paul, seven items in Paul, one without equivalent in Deuteronomy. So there are four in Deuteronomy, and there are six in Paul. Which are the two? What are the two that are extra? Listen. One Lord Jesus Christ. That's the extra. The first extra in Paul's list. And the second. One Holy Spirit. The comparison of Deuteronomy with Ephesians, of the unities in the Old Testament with the unities in the Old Testament, reveals and shows up the fullness of our faith in the blessed Trinity of the Christian Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to whom be praise and worship and dominion in the church and in our midst forevermore. Hymn number 52. Fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the friend and the comforter, be with each one of us, with all our loved ones near at hand or far away, and with the whole people of God throughout the world this day and forevermore.